God, we love you. And God, we thank you. And Lord, even though maybe some of us look at this passage of scripture and maybe it hurts to read it because maybe there's been some closed doors or maybe there's been some disappointments, God, or maybe there's been maybe some shattered hearts, and this scripture just actually hurts perhaps to some people in here tonight. But I pray that tonight would be a night of healing. I pray that tonight would be a night where hope would be restored. I pray that tonight would be a night where people would believe again, Lord, that you, even though there's only a few weeks left in this year, that God, people can believe still for miracles this year, can believe still for advancement this year. God, I pray that you would speak, Lord God, to your sons and to your daughters in this place tonight. Holy Spirit, would you come? Have your way. Holy Spirit, come. Touch hearts even now. Lord, would you use just a person like me to just share, God, what's on your heart for your sons and daughters? In your powerful, miraculous, glorious name, we pray, in a church alive said. Amen. High five someone before you sit. All right. Come on, let's have it. Let's sit down. He's working on it, baby. Do you believe that? He's working on it. Yeah. He's working on it, baby. He's working on it. You know, I was thinking during worship before, I was thinking about my little toddler. Anybody here have a child? Anyone who have children, just period. Anyone have siblings, young siblings, little brothers or sisters? Okay. Anyone's ever worked at a daycare, been a teacher? Anyone's ever encountered a child under the age of 10? Okay. So I think we're all in the same boat then. Isn't it interesting that I think about, for example, Hopi right now? She's at that stage where you think that a murder is happening if you don't give her what she wants. Like, she wants to walk around with things that, like a scissor, a very sharp scissor, or if you're chopping chicken and she seems to pass by the counter, she seems to think she deserves the right to hold that chopping knife. And no matter how I try to tell her, you'll accidentally stab your brother. You can't have that knife. She's trying to reason with me in blood-curdling screams, saying, I want the knife. I want the knife, and I want the scissor. She can't say it. She's like, scissor. I can't even do it. Probably Anthony could do it better, but the way she says scissor, she wants the scissor. She wants the key to the car, and she wants to put it in the ignition, and she wants to drive. But as much as you try to tell her, Hopi, your feet don't even touch the pedals. Hopi, you're too young. Hopi, you can't drive yet. Your time will come, Hopi. It doesn't matter. She doesn't seem to understand that it's not her time yet. She doesn't seem to understand that scissors will actually harm you because you don't know how to use them safely yet. You know, all my children, they've all gone through that stage where, you know, Ben and Rachel are understanding of some things now, and I can actually sit down and have a real conversation with them and explain why you can't do certain things or why mommy and daddy can't give them certain things just yet. Because it's just not time yet. Because it might actually harm them. Because it actually might do them worse. Could crush them instead of help them. Instead of give them what they think that they want would be good for them. And I find that that's so interesting even in our faith journey. That's what it looks like for us too. Sometimes we ask God for some things and we forget that there's some work that needs to be done underneath the surface. There's some things that have to be done behind the scenes. God has some character growth to do in you. God has some pruning to do in you. God has some foundations to lay in you before you get that thing or before that promotion or before whatever it is that you've been asking God for can happen. But what happens so often is in the process of waiting, we get discouraged. In the process of maybe an answer that says no, we get disappointed. Sometimes in the answer of hold on a sec, we take God, his hold on a sec, his delay. Well, to him, it's not a delay because his timing is perfect. His timing is divine and it's appointed for a reason. But we look at those delays and we look at them as disappointments. And then all of a sudden we go perhaps to anger or to, oh, maybe God really doesn't answer prayer. And then we start taking things into our own hands. We start trying to manipulate the situation that we are in, and maybe we start to, I don't know, lie to get our way to the top, or we do things to get our way, and maybe it's a promotion, or maybe it's something in ministry, or maybe it's a relationship, and you try to take matters into your own hands. Because you're having a hard time trusting the process and the waiting period that God has put you in. But you have to understand something is happening. God is laying down the foundation of your life. And before you could build this solid rock above it, before you could build this amazing masterpiece upon that foundation, it needs to be sturdy. It needs to be secure. And if you ask for things that you're not ready for, it's going to crush you. It's going to crush you. You know, this message comes a lot, to be quite honest with you, and I was pretty real at the 10 and the 12, so I'm going to be pretty fake now at the 6. Just kidding. I'm going to be real. This message comes, to be quite honest, out of a lot of pain this year, especially this fall. Comes out of a lot of brokenness of my own, and comes a lot of disappointment and, you know, things that I don't really share very often. A few people in my circle would know. And a lot of times as pastors, you're there to lift the heads of other people, but sometimes not realizing you need your own head to be lifted at times. And you're trying to be strong for other people, but you're barely keeping your own head up. And you're just relying on the encouragement of one or two or three people. And to be honest with you, the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Because if pastors and leaders, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, if we don't have our knees on the ground, we can't make it. And I'll tell you now, it's not just pastors and leaders. The reality is every single one of us, we need to get good at getting on our knees and coming before God. Because in this world that we live in, and as we go day by day, we're not going to make it with faith. You can make it with bitterness. You can make it in negativity. You can make it. And what I mean make is you can live your life just barely making it. You can, but you're going to live miserable. Or you can live in the hope knowing that, man, okay, that door closed. Why, God? Okay, that door is still not opening. Why, God? And there's so many questions. There's so many questions in the faith journey. And so often our questions turns into disappointments. And so often our questions turn into to discouragement. And we just feel like our faith is just shaken. And we're just, to be quite honest, we're tired. We're like, oh my gosh, God, I've been praying about this forever. I've been asking about this forever. I feel like I've been stuck in this season forever. And I know I'm not in sin. I'm good about coming to you. I know that I trust you. So why am I still in a season where I feel like it's hard to breathe? Where I feel like my heart is literally in the palm of my hand and it just feels like it's like shaking. There's moments where your soul is just like, it hurts, right? I don't know if anyone else has felt that way, but I felt that way, where you just can't make sense of like, why am I still in this season? And then all of a sudden, you see a little ray of hope. Something good just happens. You're like, oh, everything's good. And then all of a sudden, something bad happens. You're like, what the heck is going on again? And you feel like you're in this cycle. And you're like, what is going on? And I started thinking a little bit about the people in the Bible, and I was comparing myself as a leader and the different heroes of the Bible. I was like, okay, what makes me more special than Noah and Joseph and Moses and Abraham? Because every single one of them had something in common. They all had to wait for their promise. And not just 4 months of a season, not just a few months. Noah waited 120 years before the predicted rains arrived. He built this boat and then he had to wait 120 years while people were mocking him, making fun of him. Like, what is this guy doing? Abraham waited 25 years for a promised son. Joseph waited 14 years in prison for a crime he didn't even commit. Job waited perhaps a lifetime, about 60 to 70 years, for God's justice. But can I tell you something? Can I tell you this? If you've prayed about it, then I can guarantee you God is working on it. If you've prayed about it, God is working on it. If you've prayed about it, God is working on it. But Pastor Miriam, it doesn't look like it's going the way I thought. That's okay. You don't get to see the full glimpse of all that he's done. You don't have the full picture. He does. He knows why you thought it was supposed to be left, and he took you right. He knows why maybe the report was bad. He knows why maybe you got that devastating phone call that shattered your family's life. He knows why. He hasn't forgotten your prayer. Maybe you felt like, well, all that I prayed for literally just ended. There's no more hope for that. It's gone. That's okay, because he turns the brokenness, he takes the shattered things, he turns our mourning into dancing. You just have to learn. I have to learn to turn our mourning into dancing. I have to learn to surrender the pain. I have to learn to surrender the disappointment and say, God, would you put your favor? Would you put your touch? Would you put your hope? Would you put your hand of favor on this pain? Turn it around and make it useful for your glory. If you've prayed about it, he's working on it. If you've prayed about it, he is working on it, baby. What's he working on? What's he working on? He's working on that promotion that you've been praying for. He's working on that relationship you've been praying for. No, he's working on you. Yeah. He's working on you. Yeah. God is interested, yes, somewhat, in your dreams and your goals. He loves you. So, of course, he wants you to have things. He wants you to have your heart's desire, because he plants a lot of those desires in your own heart. But more than things, but more than dreams, although important, more than just answering your prayer requests, you know what he delights in? Making you more like him. You know what he delights in? Actually forming you and making you into a Christ-like daughter and son. What he delights is in producing the kind of fruit that comes out of you that other people say, he's different. She's different. What? That's what he delights in. When he is working on you, maybe the delay, maybe the no, maybe whatever it is that's happening, maybe the no to the job interviews or whatever is happening, he's working on it. He's working on you. He's working on me. God is working on me. Although this year, the past 2 years have been just kind of weird for me. I'm not going to lie. It's been like, the best is yet to come. But to be honest with you, I'm at that stage right now where like I hear it and I'm like, I know the best is yet to come. Fine. Do you ever get to a point where you're just so sick of the cliches sometimes, you know? Like, I'm just keeping it real. Honestly, you fake it till you make it. But I felt like about a month ago, if I heard that statement one more time, I was gonna like wring someone's neck. I'd be like, I know, we speak life at Church Alive. I know. I know, that's our core value. I know the best is yet to come, but right now it really sucks, you know? I was like, can I just keep it real for a second? And God is not dumb, obviously. He's God, and he knows that sometimes you go through these seasons, and it's okay to go before him and say, Father, it hurts. Father, it doesn't make sense what's happening with my children, with my son, with my daughter, with my marriage, with my finances, whatever it is that you're going through in your ministry, in your career. But maybe if you pause for a moment, God's been trying to get your attention about something for quite a while. And maybe you're stuck for a reason, not because he wants you to stay stuck, not even maybe because you got yourself stuck. Sometimes our disobedience will get us stuck. Sometimes God will have you stall somewhere because he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to say, if you go any further without laying this foundation, you're gonna get crushed. If I put any more on top of you, if I give you the more that you want, you're not going to be able to make it. It's actually going to crush you. Pause. Hear what I have to say. But we're so busy. We're so busy looking at what we don't have. We're so busy scrolling through Instagram, looking at other churches that are growing significantly with their massive buildings and their amazing budgets. And you're like, it's not happening for me yet. I hate that church. I've never thought that. I don't know who does, but that wasn't me. Not a couple of hours ago. No, of course not. You know, but the confessions of a pastor. Everyone has their thing. You look at the highlight reels of other people's lives. Maybe you're dying to get married, and you see all your friends getting engaged. You're like, I hate all of them. They all suck. I hope it doesn't work out for them. And then you're like, I hope it works out for you. No, I don't. You know. And the thing is, you look at the highlight reels for other people's life, not realizing that other people have their own stuff that they're going through. You're not posting your crap on Instagram. You're posting your highlight reels. And so often we look at the highlight reels and we're thinking, I'm not good enough. And then suddenly you become this victim. I'm not good enough. I suck. Oh, this and oh, that. Or God doesn't answer my prayers. Oh, look, they have another car. Oh, look, they have another child. Oh, look. And you look at everyone's life and then you look at yourself and you think, man, I'm not enough. There's something wrong with me. What's wrong with my family? Why hasn't there been breakthrough? Why hasn't there been breakthrough here in this area? I've been praying for this for years. And you're like, why? Why? And God's saying, hey, I'm working on it. But I'm working on you. I'm working on your character. I'm pruning the bad stuff out of your life. I'm getting you back to your knees because it's been a while since you've been on your knees. I'm getting you back to humility because maybe you've been a bit prideful. Maybe you've been a bit self-righteous. And he's saying, get back on this thing and show me you need me because I love you, son and daughter. And God wants us to get to a point in our faith, in our walk with him. And I say this a lot because this verse has honestly maintained me and sustained me this year is when Abraham had an encounter with God. And God said, Abraham, I want to be your exceedingly great reward. And I said this recently at the Kearney campus, and I'll say it again. Is God enough for you? If God says no to you for the rest of your life about the little things and the big things that you want, is the salvation, is the eternal life that he's offered you enough for you to still say you are Lord of my life? Or is your faith on him conditional of what he answers you? Oh, you're only enough if you answer my prayer request. He's like, really? I saved you from hell. I got you out of the grips of hell. I'm not enough for you. I lavished my love and my blood on that cross, but I'm not enough for you. And I think we have this culture where Jesus is Santa Claus. It's like, well, if you do this for me, then I'll serve you, God. No. God, he is our exceedingly great reward. And unless we can tap into that, sometimes we'll stay stuck somewhere because we think maybe that the size of our house will be our exceedingly great reward, the size of our bank account, the size of our family, the size of whatever it is. Maybe for girls, the size of your clothes is an issue. No, for real, that is an insecurity for women, and you don't think you're enough. And you deal with insecurities that you deal with, you know, health issues, all that kind of stuff. But is Christ enough? We sing about it in songs and we're like, oh, worship is so powerful. And then all of a sudden life happens. You're like, I don't believe what I'm singing. In the moment, it feels great. But when you actually have to apply what you're learning, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. When we know we're surrendered to God and his will, then we can change our perspective and see that everything that is happening around us is to make us more Christ-like. And I guarantee you, the moment you can grasp that truth, you'll sleep better at night. You'll sleep better at night knowing that if you've prayed about it, then he's working on it. Can you believe that? Or are you just kind of like, I know I should come to church and I know God's real, but I don't know if I believe it. That's okay. Can I make a confession? I probably shouldn't, but I will. There have been moments where I'm like, I know prayer is real, but sometimes it feels like it doesn't work. I felt that way because there's been things I've prayed for years and I'm still waiting. But you know what? Come what may, he's my exceedingly great reward. I may not know that maybe what I'm praying for, I'm trying to knock on this door, and God's trying to tell me it's not that door, it's this door. Maybe he's saving me from something horrible, but I keep trying to knock down this door, but he's saying, wrong door, airhead, next one. But if you would listen to me, you wouldn't be spending years knocking down one door when I'm trying to tell you to go down this way. Yeah. But we're too busy complaining. And we're too busy telling him what we don't have instead of listening and asking him, what do you want me to have? What do you want me to have? Prayer changes everything. Don't lose hope. God is working on it. Hey, some prayers, they're answered instantaneously. Other prayers, man, sometimes they take some time. And sometimes the answer is no. I read this quote on Pinterest the other day. It says, if God answers your prayers, he's increasing your faith. If he delays, he's increasing your patience. If he doesn't answer, it's because he's got something better for you. Verlani had this on her Instagram the other day, and I thought it was awesome, and I literally reposted it, and I've been thinking about this quote from Mark Batterson for quite a while now, and it says like this: someday we'll thank God more for the closed doors than the open ones. Someday we'll thank God more for the closed doors than the open ones. We got to learn the simplicity of what it means to trust God again like a child, trust their parent. Like sometimes when we say no to Benny and Shelly, we don't sit there and explain it. Sometimes you have no time. They're about to like hurt themselves, harm themselves. And I just have to be like, no, and take them away from harm's way. And they get mad at me. And they're like, you're always trying to take fun away from me. I'm like, no, I'm trying to not get you killed so I go to jail for being a terrible, negligent parent. And they're like, what? I'm like, never mind. Don't worry about it. I understand. But it's true. It's like sometimes God is just trying to get you out of harm's way, and you're there like, oh, God wants to take my fun away. No, he's trying to keep you from more pain. He's trying to keep you from a life of disaster. He's trying to keep you from a life of regrets. He's trying to keep you from being crushed. He's working on it, baby. You know, pray hardest when it is hardest to pray. Pray hardest when it is hardest to pray. Can I tell you something? In the last year and a half, I want to say since last May till about now, so about a year and a half, I've had about three times maybe where I found it was too hard to pray. So I actually did what I hope lots of people in here will start doing if you don't already do. I actually got on the phone or texted about five or six of my prayer warrior friends. Three of them are pastors or like my mentors and some of the girls that I'm really close to at church and saying, hey, I could barely breathe. I need to pray. I'm feeling this oppression right now. I'm just feeling this overwhelming thing right now, and I'm trying to pray. I know I need to pray about it. I physically cannot get down to pray. Literally. There's been moments where I felt so paralyzed, so oppressed in the moment that I knew something was happening, and I was just like, I literally cannot get up and pray. So I grabbed my phone. I'll never forget this moment. I'll never forget the first time it happened that I can remember was this past last May. And I texted a few people. I said, please pray for me right now because I need to pray. And I knew what I needed to pray for and who I needed to pray for. But it was like I was stuck. And so as soon as I sent that text out, I kid you not, within 20 to 30 minutes, I felt something lift. I got on my knees and I went to town on my knees against the enemy. I was like, how dare you try to shut my mouth? I was like, I have warrior friends, you know? Don't mess with girls when they pray, let me tell you. Us girls, guys, you know how to pray too. But I don't call you when I need to pray. I call my girlfriends. So, but I say that to tell you, who do you call? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? No. Who do you call when it gets hard? Who are you going to call when it gets hard? That's why it's important that you're in a connect group. That's why it's important that you're in a dream team. You have people who literally care. You have people who actually care about you advancing in your faith, in your walk, in your life. Who are you going to reach out to when you're about to do something stupid? You need to have someone that you're going to say, hey, I'm about to do something stupid. Help me. The reality is sometimes, and we're going to get there in a moment. Actually, I'll get there in a moment. I won't even get there. But pray hardest when it is hardest to pray. Pray like you believe God wants to answer. How do you pray? Literally, like, is it just God bless today, God bless the food. I'm just doing my daily routine of praying because if I don't, I know I'm a bad Christian. See you later. God bless you. Amen. Bye. Or is it like you actually believe he's listening? Like you actually believe he cares? Like he actually wants to answer you? How would our prayers sound like? What if we went from desperation to faith? What if we went from, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know how you're going to make it happen, but I trust you. This is my situation with my daughter. This is my situation with my son. I'm giving it to you. I want to control it because I'm a mom or I'm a dad or I'm whoever I am. And I want to do it my way, but I know that I might mess it up if I do it my way. So I got to trust you, God. pray like you believe God wants to answer you. Three of the things that I've learned in this crazy, bizarre, I can't wait to get out of season. It's like, all right, teach me already what you want me to know so I can get out of this season. Do you ever feel like that? It's like, you know God's trying to teach you something. You're like, all right, I surrender. Just teach me already. I want to get out. I want to be able to, like, jump and frolic and yay, life is going great again. Yay. Yeah, it's one of those days. Just kidding. It's been a good day today. I just need water. Tell the person next to you he's working on it. Tell the other person he's working on it. Three things that I've been applying personally. So I'm just giving you like a little bit of a inside scoop of Miriam's worlds right now, prayer life. And like the last couple of months, I feel like this is what God's been teaching me. And when I knew I had to preach this weekend because Anthony was preaching at the Kearney campus, I was like, oh man, I'm feeling like my soul feels crushed. I'm feeling like this has been hard. I'm like, God, how am I going to preach? How am I going to get up there? He's like, well, what have I been teaching you? I've been teaching you a lot. I was like, I know, but it's personal. And he's like, exactly, let them know so that they can learn too, because your test is your testimony, your mess is your message, and your trial is a triumph and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh, so I literally have to tell them what you're teaching me? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. It's not fun though, but I will. But three things that he's taught me. And it's going to sound super simple, and it's going to sound super elementary, and I feel like he's taking me back to the simple, back to the elementary, because if you can't even get those right, then why are we wasting our time? Right? If you can't even get, like, love your neighbor right, then, like, why are we wasting our time? I want to go deeper. Yeah, but do you know how to forgive? I want to go deeper. But do you know how to, like, reach people for Jesus? I want to go deeper. But, like, do you know how to, like, pray? Like, oh, I want to go deeper. Okay, like, let's go deeper. Learn the ABCs of Christianity first. Once you've aced that, then we can move deeper. I'm sorry, I'm venting. I shouldn't do that. I need water. It's hot in here. Isn't it hot in here? Or is it just me? Oh, okay. My husband said it's me. I'm just hot. He didn't really, but I wanted him to say that, but it's okay. I know he thinks I am. That's all that matters. It's okay. Right, honey? Okay. Number one, once you've released your prayer to God, listen to what you have to do again. You gotta ask. What do you mean? Just ask. You know, you're gonna ask something else. You're gonna ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. What do you mean? Sometimes we pray about things, but we're praying from a one-sided perspective. We're praying from what we feel, what we're experiencing, our emotions. We're feeling like a mess. And so the way we pray is based on how we're feeling, and we're not really praying from a place where the Holy Spirit is leading our prayer. That's why so much of what we pray for doesn't ever really happen, because we're praying out of our flesh. We're praying out of just like weird emotional, like mixed salad going on. But we're not actually stopping for a moment and asking the Holy Spirit that leads us in all truth to actually teach us how to pray. You could actually, yes, there's moments when you just pray like, hey, God, help me. Yes, that actually works too sometimes. Actually, it always helps. You can always say, God, help me. But you know, you got to move past that at some point. You got to be like, hey, Holy Spirit, teach me how to pray. Hey, Holy Spirit, I really want this job, but Holy Spirit, lead me in all truth. Is this the job you have for me? Is there something I need to do? Do I actually need to study a little bit more or apply myself or work harder? Or what is it that he's saying to you? John 16:13, love this. This literally slapped me in the face a couple of months ago in one of my devotionals. And since then, I've been praying it about every situation that's been coming up. I kid you not. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. I said, God, Holy Spirit, lead me in all truth, not in my emotions, not in my flesh, not in half of the truth, not in whatever I want. I want your truth. You know, we become more seasoned Christians, more mature Christians, when we go from this is what I want, God, to I surrender my will to yours. When are we going to start praying that again? Or maybe you've never had the opportunity or never heard of that kind of prayer. But it's time to sharpen your sense of faith and say, God, I long to be in the center of your will. I long to know your perfect. Yes, God works all things together for good. Yes, he does. But why do you have to go through the pain if you could just do it right the first way? Why do you have to go through the desert and stay there like the Israelites for 40 years when if you just listen to him the first time, you'll get to your destination a lot quicker? Simplicity of obedience. Yet it's not a sexy word anymore and you don't like to hear it. Obedience, I do what I want. It's my life. I'm an adult. Good for you. Have fun trying to clean up the mess. I'm a parent. Can you tell? Ask. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in all truth. Because to be honest, I want his truth. I don't want my opinion. I don't want what I think. There's a situation that was going on like a little bit ago where I was feeling something's not right. I had a dream about it. In my dream, someone said literally the word something's not right. And I knew it. A bunch of people knew it. And we just couldn't put our finger in. And I was just like, Lord, I don't know what's not right here. Something's not right. But I just pray that you would lead us all in truth. Because maybe we're wrong. But what if we're right? And I don't want to guess. I want to be led in all truth. Ask, Holy Spirit, lead me in all truth. Number two, after you ask, you have to listen. Yeah. Oh, I know, Pastor Miriam. Yeah, you know, but do you do it? Do I do it? I try to do it as much as possible, but sometimes I'm always running in and running out. Got my devotional in, read my daily, you know, you do the one-year Bible plan. There's a lot to read, so you're like, quickly, quickly, quickly going. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. You're awesome. I love you so much. Thanks for my family. You're the best. Give me a great day. See you later, God. Bye-bye. And he's like, oh, I wanted to tell you about something you prayed for, but you're not giving me the chance to talk to you about it. Because I'm trying to tell you you're wasting your time. That's not my best for you. But you don't stick around long enough for you to hear what he has to say. Do you stick around long enough? Do you stick on some worship? Maybe when you're in a car and you're like, speak to me. God, speak to me. Speak to me in my dreams. Speak to me, God, as I'm working and solidify your word in my spirit. I was telling the 10 and the 12, I went off and I went from preaching to teaching for a little bit. And I want to do that again, and I'll tell you why. Because in our desire, me and Anthony's desire to build a church not just filled with people who are discovering Jesus and placing their faith in Jesus for the first time, but in this church, as people grow in their faith, we want matured, seasoned Christians. We don't want just Christians who've been here for, got saved for a couple of months and then a couple of years, and it's always just baby Christians. No, we need new Christians, baby Christians. We need older Christians. We need all of it because that is a family, young and old. But I found that sometimes as people start growing in their faith and where the enemy can't get them in sin, they'll get them in pride. And oftentimes it's when it regards to hearing the voice of God. And all of a sudden, you'll hear someone start saying this a lot, which is not bad. It's not bad. I would just say proceed with caution and pray and have wisdom in how you do this. A lot of people will start saying, oh, God spoke this to me. I heard God and God said this to me. And everything they say is God said this to me. I heard this from God and that's awesome. I'm like, yay, they're praying. That's a good sign that people are praying. My only fear, though, is when you're always saying God said this to me, but then the next day you changed your mind about what he told you, then I'm just like, then so it wasn't God because my God doesn't change his mind. But you weren't wise enough to hold and test all things. Because see what happens, the Bible tells us, test all things. You might think it sounds good, therefore it must be God. It maybe doesn't contradict scripture. Like a while ago, there was a person that kept coming to me and saying, God's called me to do this for you, and God's called me to do that for you. This is like a couple of years ago. And I was just like, wow, that's awesome. I would never, okay, like, that's cool, that's awesome. Like, yeah, I feel like I'm called to do this here, and was saying all this stuff, and I was just like, you know when you just feel like, God said that to you, okay, and kept saying, God said this, and God told me this, God showed me. I was like, oh, cool, okay. And then, like, a few months later, the person leaves. You're like, oh, I thought God told you. So God didn't tell you? I thought God told you. Oh, but God didn't tell you. Or did he change his mind? Or, like, I don't know. Maybe I became a bad person, therefore God changed his mind. I don't know. Right? Isn't that weird sometimes? I just feel like sometimes Christians over-spiritualize their emotions, and they take their emotions as God said. Yeah. Can you be careful? See, at Church Alive, we want a culture where people hear from God. But we want a culture where you're credible. Meaning, if you go Christmas dinner with your friends or your family, and you're the only Christian, yet you're sitting around the table, God told me that tomorrow I'm getting a promotion of $5 million, and then tomorrow you actually get fired. They're going to be like, yeah, this Christian. And you just lost the credibility and lost the opportunity to be Christ to your family because you're a little cuckoo. Yeah. Test all things. I'm not trying to rain on the parade. I'm not trying to disqualify you hearing from God. I'm not trying to disqualify you wanting to hear and testing it and going out on a limb and thinking it's God and doing it. I'm not trying to mock that. I think it's beautiful. I'm just saying, can we do it with wisdom? I'm just saying, can you do it carefully? I'm just saying, instead of trying to be prideful about it and be like, God spoke to me, I'm so spiritual. Not that you do that, because if you do that, it's weird. Don't do that. But sometimes we do that. But it wasn't God. It was just your desire or your twisted emotion or just your sweet little emotion. Do you know that I've been pastoring now for 12 years and a leader for many years before that? And I still, till this day, I know when God speaks to me for sure. But most, 99.999% of the time, whether it's a dream, a prophetic word, or whatever it is as I'm praying for people or journaling it, I always say, Lord, I truly believe this is you that is saying it to me. But I'm going to test it. When I pray for someone, prophesy for someone, I literally say, I believe God is saying this for you. I could be wrong. Don't go build your life on it, but test it. And to be honest with you, that's just wisdom. Because you got to be careful with the thus saith the Lord. Because if you're going to say something that God said, you better be sure it's God. Yeah. It's a big responsibility. Yeah. That's the culture we want here at Church Alive. So let's be wise. You guys receive that? Do you understand where we're coming from? There's too many Christians that just are overly spiritual and no one can take them seriously. We need to be the kind of people that can make a difference. So if we're always trying to pawn down someone's mouth, you know what I mean? God said, but you're like always wrong. You just lost credibility. Listen. And when you feel like you don't know what you're hearing because your emotions are just like all over the place, have you ever felt like you don't know what to do because you're just super like unsure, in fear, anxious, like so much is going on, every door is closing and all this stuff is happening and you just don't know what to do? I found myself recently in this situation. Like I wanted to do something. But I was like, man, I'm being super emotional about this. I'm getting angry about it. I'm getting upset. I'm hurt about this. And I want to do this. But before I do something stupid, let me call my smart friends. And my friends who are not emotional about this right now. And I call Katie and I'm like, hey, Kat, I'm feeling this way right now, but I don't know if it's right. And she's like, Mama, don't do that. I was like, okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to be crazy. Or I call some of my other, you know, advisors or mentors or people who I know are praying for me. And I'm just like, hey, my flesh wants to do this. Is that wise? Like, and sometimes listening to the counselors or the people God's put in your world who you know are listening to God, who you know are following God, that is God's answer to you. He is giving them as a messenger to protect you. Look what it says in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety, which is why connect groups, dream teams, coming to church, not just coming, but belonging, being a part of the family. That's the only way you will flourish and thrive. It is so important. So important. Last one. And this is the hardest. And this is the one I'm stuck in. Letting go. Letting go. Don't try and manipulate or force the outcome. Look, and I'll have Caillou back on the keys, honey. The reality is this. We all know there's certain things you just need to let go of. We all know there's certain things that maybe even certain prayers, not that you're giving up, but maybe there's something that God's telling you to surrender. Maybe there's a boyfriend that you've been dating for many years and you become a Christian for a few years now and you've tried to bring that person to Jesus. You've tried to, hey, I want to live for Christ. I want to live for you. And you've been praying and you keep praying for that person, but maybe you need to let go of that relationship and let God deal with the person. Let go. The hardest thing to do is to let go. We all want to, in theory, in essence, we want to let go of what's not good for us, but we just have a hard time doing it. That's where you need the breath of the Holy Spirit to give you strength. That's why you need your friends. You need the people in your world who are praying for you. And it's almost like you feel like there's an army praying for you. Like, I don't feel like I got this, but my friends got this with me, so that means I got this. It's almost like something strong rises up in you. Like this week, I called a few of my friends and I was just like, oh, I'm feeling it. It's really hard. I'm just feeling it. It's really hard. It's just been a rough week. And I just called a few of them and all of a sudden I'm like, I felt strong. I'm good. I got this. I'm good. I got this. Don't try and manipulate or force the outcome. Again, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Trust God's timing. Everything is made beautiful in His time. Everything is made perfect in His time. You know, I saw another good Pinterest quote. Good old Pinterest. And I put it actually on Instagram this week, and I thought it was so powerful. And it's amazing what a change of perspective can do for your day, for your week. A change of perspective can change your life. And I read this and it said, instead of saying, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this, say, Lord, I can't wait to see how you're gonna do this. Just tick the devil off by saying that. Because the devil wants to get you in a spirit of defeat. Because so often we as Christians, this is our posture before God. God, I don't know how I'm gonna get out of this. I don't know how I'm gonna do this, God. And the devil's like, oh, great. Whining again, that's awesome. That's where he wants you to be. But suddenly, you get this courage coming up inside of you because you change your perspective. And instead of going, oh God, I don't know how I'm gonna get out of this, it's like, oh God, I can't wait to see how you're gonna make this work out. I can't wait to see how you're gonna make this work out. I can't wait to see how you're gonna turn this around. Heck, it hurts. Heck, it's been years since I've been praying for this. But I can't wait to see how you're going to turn this around. You know, I don't mean to say this next story as a sense of discouragement. If it discourages you, I'm sorry. But I've heard of countless stories of women who've prayed for years and years for sons and daughters and all that kind of stuff. And then they pass away. They go be with Jesus. Suddenly, their sons and their daughters get saved, become pastors, or just live for Jesus, and their lives are changed, and you're kind of like, oh, what a shame. The mom didn't get to see that. Are you kidding me? The mom is watching from the best seat ever. But we have this sense like once something happens and the door is closed, then our prayers are done. But our prayers go up before God as a memorial. They're not forgotten. Your prayers from years ago, they're still activating today. Just don't quit. If you've prayed about it, he's working on it. Just change your perspective. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Lord, I cannot wait to see how you're going to do this. Isn't it amazing how just a change of perspective can put a leap of hope back into your heart again? You're my exceedingly great reward. Whether you say no, whether you say yes, or you say wait. Because I know if you say no, it's because you got something way better. Or if you say wait, it's because you're working on me. If you prayed about it, he's working on it. Prayer changes everything. But we got to learn to ask the Holy Spirit, listen to what he's saying, and actually let go of control and manipulation. You guys receive that tonight? Hey, why don't we stand? Sometimes in church, we're not always given the opportunity to actually apply immediately Well, we're always given the opportunity. You can just leave church and just start applying it, obviously. But like right now, in your seat, maybe it's time to just be real and just say, God, I'm tired. It's been a rough year or a rough week or a rough 5 years, 10 years. Hopefully it hasn't been a rough 10 years, 20 years, whatever. But I don't know your story. Everybody has a different story. I don't know yours. But maybe today it's time to change your perspective and just say, God, I don't want to say, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't think I could do it. Maybe it's time tonight to say, I can't wait to watch you do it. Maybe tonight it's time to say, I surrender the pain. I surrender the disappointment. I surrender the whatever it is. And I want to be committed to the process, God, of what you want to do in me. He wants to prune you. He wants to build in you the kind of character that he could build upon you so you can have the promotions, so you could have the things, the gifts, the dreams, all that stuff. But if your foundation's not solid, it's going to crash and crush you. So right now, before we invite people to say yes to Jesus, can you just take a couple of moments and just, I don't know what you've been asking for. I don't know what you've been praying for years. But tonight, just whatever part of this message applied to you, can you just talk to God about it now? You and God right now. Take a couple of moments. Father, I know in a room this size, there's got to be at least one, two, if not over 100 people who've experienced disappointment and discouragement and difficult moments. But I thank you, God, that you want to do so much more in us than sometimes around us. And so, God, I pray that we wouldn't despise the process of character building and the pruning and the Lord, the sharpening of who we are. And I pray that we would grow, and I pray that we would trust and know, Lord God, that once we've prayed about it, God, that you are working on it, and that we could trust you. We could trust you. We could trust your time. We could trust your process. I pray that you would calm hearts, anxious spirits, burdens, pain, discouragement among fathers and mothers and wives and husbands and teenagers, college, career, children. Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, we trust you. We want to please you. And we honor you with our lives. Father, where we've made it about us, where we've treated you like you were created for us, I pray that tonight our perspective would change. Realize we were created for you to live a life of worship, to bring a sacrifice of praise. We worship you, Jesus. Right now, I also just want to talk to anybody who might be in here tonight. Maybe you're a first-time guest. Maybe you've come for a while. Maybe you've been in church your whole life. And today's another Sunday you've come, but if you're going to be real, your heart is far from God. There comes a point in everybody's life where you have to come to terms that you've either been doing it your way, or you realize doing it your way gets you nowhere, but you haven't really made Jesus Lord of your life. And the Bible tells us that all have fallen short of God's glory, meaning we've all sinned, we've all made a mistake, we've all failed. And that sin separates us from God, and that's why he bankrupted heaven and gave us Jesus, because he knew that we wouldn't be perfect, so he sent his perfect son in our place to be our righteousness. And he invites every single person to welcome him into your life, to fill that God-shaped hole that every single one of us has. And all we need to do is respond and say, hey, I recognize that I'm not perfect. I recognize that I blow it sometimes. I recognize that I need a savior. I recognize that that I've done in my way, it's gotten me nowhere. And today I want to put my hope and I want to put my trust in this person of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. That's you in here. Every eye closed, every head bowed. This is a personal moment. That's you in here. If you're saying, hey, I've never had a defining moment, a one-time moment where I said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Yes, I've decided tonight I'm putting my hope and my faith in Jesus. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're going to have all the answers. Doesn't mean life's going to be perfect. It just means that you have the one who will carry you through life. The one who will give you purpose. And he will change your eternity forever. And if that's you in here, if you're saying yes to Jesus, I just want you to slip up your hand just so I could see it. Literally like this. So all across this gym, if you're saying yes, I see that hand. If you're saying yes to Jesus tonight, just lift up your hand so I could see it. I see that hand right there. I see that hand. I see that hand. Have you a couple more moments? Anybody else in here who's saying yes to Jesus? I see that hand too. I see that hand over there and that hand over there too. I see that hand right there too. There's a lot of hands going up. That's awesome. Can we do that one more time? Everyone who raised their hand, just so I could see it. Can you just lift it up high just so I can acknowledge it? Yep, all those hands are going up. That's awesome. All right, we're all going to pray together, every single person in this room. Simple prayer, recognizing Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You could put your hands down once you put them up. Why don't you repeat with me, the whole church from the front to back. Dear Jesus, today I recognize I need a Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I give you my life. I ask you to be Lord and Master of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Hey, can we put our hands together for every single person that made a decision tonight?